Let's open to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, continuing a little series we started on From an Open Tomb to an Open Door. And the question arises, what does Christ open? And last time we got together, we looked at the fact that he opened the scriptures. We saw that the disciples on the road to Emmaus had no understanding, even of the Old Testament prophecies and those things that Jesus had said would certainly come to pass. They have come to pass, and yet they don't understand. But when he begins to speak, they hear the voice of the shepherd, and they understand. He opens the scriptures unto them. Okay, Mark chapter 16 then, beginning in verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought sweets and spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be ye not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into the truth, that you would open the scripture to us. Lord, we thank you for your patience, your mercy, and your grace with us as we are slow to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 16 to look at the next thing. What does Jesus open? By the way, I asked the question last time we got together. For whom was the stone rolled away? Sure, Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away to come out of that tomb. Not when we see after he had risen from the dead, he walks through walls, he walks through locked doors. His body no longer has to obey the laws of nature which he created. What else does he open? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 16, and we'll start reading in verse number 13. Acts chapter 16, and verse number 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Well, here's a woman of the city of Thyatira, and she's down by the riverside worshiping God, a God that she doesn't know. She worships God, she knows about him, but she doesn't personally know him. And the Apostle Paul now begins to speak the word of God and to teach her the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and that he is the living God. And what do you suppose happens? This sheep hears his voice, and she immediately follows him. Well, the scripture says that she was baptized, and then she beseeches Paul, "If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there," and she constrained us. Well, mankind is lost and undone in sin and depravity. Even the Jews attempted to worship a God which they did not really know. And of course, that comes out in the Synoptic Gospels and the book of John. As far as they were concerned, they were honest in what they were doing. And yet, because they didn't know him, when you look at the testimony that Israel had, it wasn't very good. They were a constant thorn in the side to all the nations. They exasperated Rome to the place where they finally just came and burnt the place down and scattered them into the nations of the earth. And so we find that even though they purported to worship God, they hadn't heard the voice of the shepherd. They hadn't followed him. They'd followed the ways of the world and made a mess out of the whole thing as they went. And so we find here now that this woman's heart is opened because now the Master has called to her through the words of the Apostle Paul. And as soon as her heart's opened, what does she do? She immediately recognizes the truth. She recognizes that Paul is an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ because by his mouth she heard something that her heart responded to. The stone was rolled away from the door of her heart, and the human heart is a sepulcher. As the scripture says in the Old Testament, looking at the body, the whole head is sick and the whole heart's faint. There's no soundness in it from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. The human race is a sepulcher. It abides in death. Who will roll away the stone from the door? Well, here we find that this human heart had that stone rolled away, and it's only in response to the Word of God. The Lord draws himself to us in love. Let's look at John chapter 12, just to have a look at that. John chapter 12. Now, this woman had no doubt been raised in religion. She's down by the riverside worshiping God, which immediately tells you something. If she's down by the riverside worshiping God, where is she not?
In the temple.
Yeah, she's not in the temple. Of course, she's in Thyatira, so that would be a long walk on a Saturday morning. But there was a synagogue in Thyatira. Every place that the Jews dwelt, there were synagogues. Well, she wasn't there, so she wasn't hearing the voice of strangers, but she hadn't heard the voice of the shepherd yet. In John chapter 12, and verse number 20, let's take up our reading there. John chapter 12, maybe I need to get in the right chapter here. John chapter 12, beginning in verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." These are some out-of-towners. "Philip cometh and telleth Andrew." And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. It's moving up the chain of command. Notice that they didn't start speaking as ambassadors. Isn't that something? When somebody asks a Christian a question, they say, "Well, what? I have to go ask my pastor about that." Doesn't the scripture say we ought to be ready to give an answer to any man that asks of the reason of the hope that lies within us? We're the ambassador, not just the pastor. Verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it, and that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The human heart, the Lord drawing his sheep unto himself, and his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. Jesus says, for this cause came I into this world. And as we saw and read in our Sunday school lesson this morning, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Well, what human emotion would prompt the shepherd to do that for the sheep? It's love. Love. The Lord draws men unto himself in love. So what does he open? Here's another case of opening. Lydia, the seller of purple. She grew up in a religious place. She even worshipped God as she understood it, but she didn't know him. We don't know if she was following the tenets of Judaism or not, but if she was, do you suppose that would have moved her further away from God than if she'd grown up worshipping Aphrodite? There'd be certainly room for debate in that question, wouldn't there? Nonetheless, when the Lord opens her heart, what does she immediately do? She's out of the sepulcher. The stone is rolled away. And only the shepherd himself can roll the stone away from the door of the sepulcher. There's no human means that can do it. There's no religion on the face of the earth that can open a human heart. But the shepherd can. The Holy Spirit can. What else? What else does he open? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 3 and see if we can find another facet on this jewel. Revelation chapter 3. And we'll start reading in verse number 7, and immediately somebody knows what this letter is. Oh, it's Philadelphia. Let's read this letter to the church at Philadelphia and see what that has to do with an opening. Verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, of all the seven letters to the seven churches, this is one of the shortest. But it says a lot. We're speaking of openings here. Did you spot a couple of openings that only God himself could open? This is pretty important. We were talking about evangelicalism before this service started. What does the term evangelical mean?
Evangelical usually means that you're presenting a message. You're trying to get the gospel.
You are forth-telling some message. Could be a decree of a government, or it might be a message from God. Let's take it up in verse number 7 once again and see that only God can open the sepulcher, open the door, if you will. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Well, first of all, the credentials of the shepherd are put first. Remember in Sunday school, we talked about the porter? To him the porter openeth. The porter has to have the credentials to enter the sheepfold. Well, here we have the credentials. He that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Semicolon. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shutteth. I have set before thee an open door. What do you think he means by this? What is he telling this church that he has done that no one could undo? Well, he set before them an open door? What do you suppose he means by that? What door? Sure. In what sense? The door of salvation, because it's pretty obvious that these people are already saved. So it doesn't concern their salvation. That's a fait accompli.
I think it's getting to that very end of, say, from Romans 8, 28 through 38 and 39 type of a scenario.
Yes, that's involved. As an ambassador of Christ, we should get real interested in this. Maybe we could find something that pertains to us. Okay, the door is open to the Gentiles, that's true. But you've kind of set that door over there someplace.
To go out and tell the good news, to be evangelists.
Okay. Is there something else? Remember, Lydia, the seller of purple, had her heart opened by the Spirit of God as words came from the chief shepherd by the mouth of Paul. It wasn't Paul that opened her heart, was it? No, it was the Holy Spirit that opened her heart. It was the Holy Spirit that rolled away the stone from the mouth of the sepulcher. Now we're told here at church, and by the way, what does Philadelphia mean? It means brotherly love, sure. What door do you suppose is open that no man can shut? I just brought up Paul down by the riverside. And apparently it wasn't just Lydia, because her whole household was baptized. And they weren't baptized as an act of religiosity. They were baptized because they were believers. So apparently there was more than just one heart opened. So what about Paul? What door do you think this is that nobody can shut? And by the way, what's true of the church at Philadelphia is also true of all of the seven churches, but it's drawn out particularly here in this letter. Pardon? Okay, yes. Those that would listen to the message would be overcomers. What has the world consistently tried to do since the day of Pentecost concerning the preaching of the gospel? They have tried to shut the door. All of the powers that be upon the earth have tried to shut the door. Isn't it interesting when Paul writes to the church at Rome, we find out in the last chapter that there are believers in the very household of Caesar? Nero could not shut the door. He did everything that he could to stop the gospel from going forth. Christianity was outlawed. It was made an enemy of the state. All of the power of imperial Rome was marshaled against the preaching of the gospel. What did Nero use Christians for in his gardens? Of course. Absolutely. And the scripture speaks of the 10 emperors in the Roman Empire under which vicious persecutions took place. There are only two of these churches out of the series of seven of which nothing negative is recorded at all. It's all praise. Well, you probably guessed that one of them is Philadelphia, but what's the other one? Smyrna. What's the derivation of the word Smyrna? Smyrna. Pardon? Myrrh. Absolutely. What was myrrh used for in the ancient world? Yes. The church at Smyrna, the church of the martyrs. The church that Nero persecuted. Did Nero manage to shut the door? I don't think so when Paul brings up the fact that there are born-again believers in his very household. Human governments since that day have deigned to do the same thing. But they can't. Why? Because Christ set before his church, the real, true one, made up of born-again believers, not churchianity. They're trying to shut the door. But the true church has before it an open door set that they cannot shut. And they've tried every possible way of attack. When martyrdom didn't work, what was the next thing that the enemy of souls tried to shut the door? Of course. Of course. The bitterest persecutions could not shut the door. As a matter of fact, Christianity multiplied in those days by leaps and bounds. What's going on in China today concerning the open door? Has the communist government attempted to shut it? And what went on in Russia some years back concerning the open door? Did the government try to shut it? They certainly did. They did everything within their means to shut it. But what happened? It grew. Wherever Christianity is persecuted, it grows and prospers. Well, that approach didn't work, so the devil abandoned that. And then in 312 AD, Constantine ascends to the throne, and God uses him to try another method of closing the door. And what was that? Yes. He did water down Christianity. But what was his method? Well, sort of. What he did was make Christianity popular where it had been illegal to be a Christian. When Constantine comes in, he issues an edict of toleration, and not only an edict of toleration, he makes Christianity the state religion of the Roman Empire. A brilliant stroke. Now, suddenly, everybody in Rome is a Christian. The Romans were out baptizing their dogs, making them Christians. Constantine baptizes his legions. Yesterday you were a butcher. Today you are a Christian. We'll shut the door by adding leaven. And leaven will eventually leaven the whole lump. What a devilish stroke. But did it work? Did even that close the door? No. I could give you some of the sordid history of the Church of Rome, but for the sake of time, I won't. And then along comes Martin Luther. Did Martin Luther open a door? Yes. Do you think they were his doctoral theses? A lot is owed to Martin Luther because he restored to the church a central truth. He didn't restore it all, but he restored to the church a central truth, which was what? Pardon? Yes. Sola Scriptura, sola fide. Only the scriptures. And only faith. The Church of Rome had deviated so far from that that it was difficult to find any genuine Christianity in it at all. The Pope had managed to practically shut the door. He never succeeded, but he tried. Well, then out of that grew Lutheranism, and along comes Knox and Zwingli and Calvinism and all that nonsense, and now we have the Protestant Reformation. Or was it really? Oh, but you'd say, the Protestants never tried to close the door. Oh? Oh? Do you think that the tenets of Arminianism and Calvinism are a poison in the bloodstream of Christianity? The devil tries many things to close the door, but were some people saved in that age? Yes! Those that came along and began to distort the idea of only the scriptures and only faith, and add other things in, like our baptistry has magic in the water. When we serve the Lord's table, it's the genuine article. It transmits the means of grace. You don't have to hear the voice of the shepherd. Here, have one of our crackers. Have a sip of our finest port. Yes. But were they able to close the door? Never. And then comes along the Age of Philadelphia, the one that we just looked at. what approximate period of time, since these seven churches are representative of seven ages. Pardon? Yeah, we would call it the age of missionary outreach, started in the 1700s. Why, I believe that there was missionary outreach right here in America. There were revivals. Do you suppose that most of the people that came over to this country had been imbued with the tenets of religion instead of the truth? I mean, they were burning witches up there in Salem, weren't they? Now, there's an act of grace. Along comes George Whitefield and other evangelists. Did they have before them an open door? Did they use it? What was the result? Awakenings and revivals. And it isn't just in this country. It swept through Europe as well. And what about China? Do you think that China was a closed door in the 1700s? That's right. The British thought they'd opened up China because they sent a few gunboats over and subdued some of the port cities. Allowed them to bring in their opium. Do you think turnabout is fair play? Where is fentanyl, or however you pronounce that, being manufactured and smuggled into the United States and Britain? Made in China! Now, I'm not saying turnabout is fair play. I didn't say that. But history's interesting, if you're paying attention.
Trump's working on those tariffs.
Yes, he'll put a tariff on that, I'm sure. Nonetheless, Hudson Taylor, Adoniram Judson, they went into these areas that were totally closed to the gospel, and what happened? Christianity began to explode in those eastern nations that had never had the message before, because Christ had set an open door before them and they decided they'd use it. Now, we could come down to today and we could say as believers, well, you know, the government's against us. They've taken any mention of Jesus out of the public square. Jesus has been expelled from the public miseducation system. What can we do? If you know that there's an open door set before us, what could you do if you decided to do it? You can still be an ambassador of Christ. You can still preach the... And they can't stop you. They can persecute you, but when they've killed the body, they've done all that they can do. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Set before us an open door. It's still open. The door of the harvest. The fields are always white unto harvest, but the laborers are always few. If you're a born-again believer, the Lord has set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we do want to thank you.